Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining with us again. Today we have the opportunity to be back out in the bush, and I'm not sure how much longer this window is going to be open because it's supposed to come in raining, but that might happen on Sunday. Well, anyway, I want us to go back and take another look at Calvary and look at a story that most of us don't really think about. Go with me to Luke chapter 23. Well, we all know what happened at Calvary. Jesus was arrested. He was charged with some trumped up charges that were all lies. He was tried in a kangaroo court, and he was condemned to the cross. And then he died, charged as a criminal through crucifixion. One of the worst deaths in the world. That's not the story that I want to look at. Luke introduces to us the story we're going to look at in verses 32 through 33. He writes, two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. On the day that Jesus died, there were three men on crosses, Jesus in the middle. Those two on each side were criminals. The two other gospels, there's two other gospels that tell us that both of these criminals were making fun of Jesus and ridiculing him, and it was probably embarrassing, but these guys were, along with the crowd, really tearing Jesus down. Let's take a look at that story just a little deeper now. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thanks for holding off the rain. Lord, use this for your glory. Help us to get into this story and find out just what happened at Calvary with Jesus and these two criminals. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Up to this time, Jesus has said very little. According to the Old Testament, Jesus was led as a lamb to a slaughter and he did not open his mouth. But now he chooses to speak, and his comment changes everything. Look at verse number 34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. Get your head around this. Jesus was spat on. He was ridiculed. He was beaten with stripes. He was charged with lies. And now he's hanging on the cross. And he looks at all of those people before him, including the criminals. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? This is insane, to just out and out forgive everybody the things that they had done to him. It's not even human. But the truth of the matter is, it is divine, and that's what Jesus said. Let's continue with the story in verses number 35 through 41. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him that said, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged rallied against him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Verse number 40. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. What changed? The Bible said that these two were ridiculed and making fun of Jesus. What changed to make this one? What was said, what was done to make this one criminal change his mind? Well, I'm not really sure, but I'm going to offer an opinion. I believe when Jesus looked at all the people who were using and abusing him, and he had compassion, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I think this must have impacted the criminal. He maybe was watching Jesus. Yes, he was ridiculing him. But I believe that attitude of forgiveness gripped his heart. And he saw, who is this guy? He must be special. He must be the Son of God. So you see, even the reality, even on the cross, the reality of who Jesus was gripped his heart. Then he looks at Jesus and he speaks. Luke records in verse number 42, and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In one phrase, the majesty of the Son of God overwhelmed the thief, and it changed his life. "Jesus, I know you're a king. Will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Now, Jesus knows his heart, so Jesus responds back to the criminal. And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." In one short moment of clarity, the crook on the cross was changed from a criminal to a saint, and his future was secured forever. But you may ask the question, how in the world could this be? We see this man was going to live with Jesus forever, but he never did those things that we consider to be so important. He was never baptized. He never took communion. He didn't join a church. He was not confirmed, and he didn't even speak in tongues. He couldn't even bend his knees to pray the sinner's prayer. But watch this, though. Jesus didn't heal his body. He didn't smack down those who were scoffing and ridiculing him. He didn't stop them crucifying him. The man, the criminal, paid for his sin. Yet he was a thief who walked right into paradise on the very same day that Jesus did. This thief knew he had a need, and he knew Jesus could meet that need, and he turned straight to the source, and Jesus saved him. May I add, there was no brilliant presentation by some preacher. There was no praise team, or there was not even any music. There was no church building with air conditioning. There was none of those things that we consider to be so important today. He was just a naked man on the cross, unable to even fold his own hands. Yet he made it through on the right side of eternity. And as far as I'm concerned, he's with Jesus today. Why did this common criminal walk into paradise with Jesus? Well, I believe it's all because of his simple faith in Jesus, his recognition of a need, and he called on Jesus to meet that need. Why would Jesus do that? I call that grace. I call that mercy at its best. This is not church. This is not religion. This is the simple key that unlocks the powers of God's mercy and grace. This is the simple faith and the unimaginable grace of Jesus. So today I want to ask you a question. Have you come to Jesus through your religious experience? Or maybe your charity work? Or maybe even your membership in the church? If you have, I personally wouldn't be too comfortable with your eternity. But if you came to Jesus with a pure and simple faith in Him and a realization that you needed Him, then the grace of Jesus will embrace you and it will change your life forever. Belief in a simple grace changes everything. Why would God do that? I call that grace. I call that grace. Father, I thank you for this simple message from a thief. We can learn so much from him that clarifies everything in our age. I'm thankful for grace and mercy. I'm so grateful that you caused me to recognize my need and to recognize you for who you are. And then you saved me with that wonderful, matchless grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now we're going to listen to a song that could have very easily been sang by the thief on the cross.